This episode is brought to you by my 10-week Fertility Awareness Mastery Group program. If you're listening in real time, registration for my January 2018 groups is now open. To reserve your spot today, make sure to head over to fertilityfriday.com/group program. That's fertilityfriday.com/group program. This is the Fertility Friday podcast, episode number 165. Welcome to the 165th episode of the Fertility Friday podcast. Thank you for joining me today. I'm Lisa from fertilityfriday.com, and this is your source for information about the Fertility Awareness Method and all things fertility. I'm excited to share today's episode with you. I wanted to do a little bit of a throwback, I guess you could say. So when I started the podcast almost 3 years ago, for those of you who are new to the podcast, I actually started with my very first episode. I wanted to set the tone for the podcast by talking about fertility awareness. I did a two-part introduction where I went through the Fertility Awareness Method and kind of gave the overview of what it was. And then I also did myths and facts about fertility awareness as well as the menstrual cycle. In today's episode, I actually wanted to talk about fertility awareness and really kind of go through what it is. And I thought it'd be fun to do that after 3 years of podcasting and share some of the insights and just different learnings and that I've had from my client work, as well as all of the different interviews that I've had with different health professionals. And ultimately, fertility awareness itself is still the same, but maybe I have more to say about it now, 3 years in. And for those of you who are new to fertility awareness charting, in the process of learning how to chart your cycles and getting comfortable and confident with the Fertility Awareness Method, if you're looking for additional support and guidance and just to get really to that place where you can feel really confident about what you're seeing and to understand what your chart is reflecting back to you about your overall health and fertility, I would invite you to check out the programs that I offer. And so if you head over to fertilityfriday.com/work with me, you'll see a list of the different programs that I offer. And truly in my one-on-one work with clients, you know, a big part of the work is to really get the method down, be really clear and confident about your observations. So understanding what's happening on any day of your cycle so that you can be really clear on whether or not it's a fertile day. But beyond that, the work that I really do with my clients is to help them to see how their cycle is relating to their overall health. Your menstrual cycle gives so many clues to what's happening because it truly is a window into your health and a reflection of what's happening in your health. So if something is happening in your body, it'll show up in your menstrual cycle chart reliably. And it's one of my most favorite things to be able to help my clients to kind of integrate that understanding, especially when they're interpreting their charts. So again, that's fertilityfriday.com/work with me. So as we jump into today's topic, I want to start with the question of what is fertility awareness? It's a pretty big question. I think you can answer that in a number of different ways, but ultimately, fertility awareness, from my perspective, the development of true body literacy. And body literacy is a term that really means that you understand what's happening in your body. And you really and truly understand the relationship between your menstrual cycle and your overall health. It's interesting because I always say that when women learn the fertility awareness method, they're typically going into it with a goal. They're typically either trying to avoid pregnancy and looking for a natural form of birth control, or they're wanting to conceive and really optimize their chances of conception. So you're kind of going into it with a goal, a game plan, and an intended outcome that you would like to have. So it's kind of like, what can fertility awareness do for me? What can I get out of this? But what I find is that as you get deeper into it, as you start charting your cycles, and as you really start to pay attention to the changes that are happening in your body from cycle to cycle, what ends up happening is that you realize that it's so much more than just birth control or trying to conceive. When you start to see the ways that your cycle shifts and changes with in relation to what's happening in your life, what's happening at your job, what's happening, emotionally in your emotional life, as well as your physical life, when you start to see that the relationship between different health conditions in your cycle. So if you're struggling with a health condition, as it gets better, your cycle gets better. And so all of a sudden you realize that this is so much more than just birth control. That is what I consider fertility awareness to be. It's more than just birth control, but it's this kind of full body understanding and to really help you to connect with your body, with your cycle, and to know why it's so important for us to have a cycle, knowing that your cycle is part of you and it is something that is affected by everything that happens in your body. And so to be able to see that and to be part of that, that is what I consider to be fertility awareness. From a practical standpoint, when you're charting your cycles with the fertility awareness method, you're really paying attention to the three main fertile signs. And so those are cervical mucus, basal body temperature, and cervical position. And so with the method of fertility awareness that I teach, cervical mucus is the primary sign. And you can actually chart with mucus only. So not only the method that I teach, but there are a number of methods of fertility awareness that where you can rely primarily and only on mucus. So for instance, the Billings method, the Creighton method, from my understanding, you know, you chart your mucus only and you don't take your temperature and you can gauge your fertility with mucus, just with mucus. And so, you know, I for one find the temperature to be very helpful in identifying ovulation. So for those of you who aren't familiar with the fertility awareness method, what happens with your cervical mucus is that around the time of ovulation, your ovaries are producing higher and higher levels of estrogen, and that estrogen stimulates your cervical crypts to produce mucus that you can see and observe. And so when you're paying attention to your cervical mucus, you'll notice that your mucus production increases around ovulation. And so once you start charting that and you get comfortable and confident in paying attention to those signs, it can become very clear to you when you're in your fertile window. Similarly with temperature, so temperature doesn't help you to predict anything. So I think that's one of the biggest myths around temperature is that the rise in temperature somehow helps you to predict ovulation. So that's not how that works. The reason that temperature is helpful is because after ovulation, your ovaries produce high levels of progesterone and progesterone changes your metabolism. So progesterone rises your metabolism. And that means that when you're taking your basal body temperature every morning before you get out of bed, you can actually see a sustained rise in your temperature. So you can plot those temperatures on a graph. You can use an app. You can use a piece of paper. And when you do that, then you can actually see that your post-ovulatory temperatures are higher than your pre-ovulatory temperatures. And so when you're taking your temperature, it's especially for those of you who are kind of science nerds like me, you know, it's like plotting the data. You're really getting this information, putting it on a graph, and you can visually see that you've ovulated. And so the first cycle that you go through, you may, of course, you're not going to feel totally confident yet, not totally be able to trust it. But once you continue to see that shift and the kind of the changes that happen cycle after cycle after cycle. So with me, you know, 15 years in, I can trust it. I've seen this happen so many times. And so it's very helpful, the combination of your cervical mucus observations with your temperature as a way to, the cervical mucus helps you to identify when you're in your fertile window, and then your basal body temperature helps you to confirm that you've ovulated, or if you really want to be specific around the ovulation date. So when you look back at your temperature chart, when you can identify ovulation kind of retrospectively, because you can be fairly certain that ovulation happened the day before your temperature went up. But of course, you're not going to know that on that day. You're going to know that after. So that's the thing about temperature. It doesn't help you to predict it, but it can help you to pinpoint it kind of after the fact. Cervical position, on the other hand, it does, your cervix changes around ovulation. So your cervix, just like your cervical mucus is produced under the influence of estrogen, estrogen also affects the position of your cervix as well as the texture. And so when you pay attention to your cervical position, you can actually feel a difference around ovulation. And then once you've ovulated, your cervix will shift rather dramatically. And so you can actually feel the difference around that time. And so when you put those three signs together, you have three very clear and obvious signs that can tell you when you're in your fertile window. And they can also tell you once you've ovulated and you enter into your post-ovulatory or luteal phase. And so, you know, that is the very, very basic, quick and dirty version of fertility awareness. For those of you who've been charting your cycles, you'll know that there's more to it. There's a lot of nuance. And there's so many different analogies that have come up on the podcast over the years. You know, one of them is like learning how to drive. Although driving is really easy for those of us who drive, you don't even think about the different signs on the road and the different ways that you can go. But ultimately, when you first started driving, you had to read a book and familiarize yourself with all the signs. You had to get used to how the car worked and what to do in different situations. And so that is a very good analogy for fertility awareness. Because although it's very straightforward, I find that when I work with clients, they are fairly confident even by the second chart. And by the third chart, that's when they start to feel like really, really confident. Although they still will typically have a couple of questions here and there, a few different clarifications about mucus, about temperature, about different health-related things that could be showing up in their charts. Ultimately, the basic charting aspect, when you have somebody there to support you and answer those questions that come up right off the bat, it's something that it sounds complicated, but once you get the hang of it, it's actually pretty easy. It feels like second nature. And once you get in the habit of checking your mucus and your temperature shifts and all of that, you kind of look back and wonder, how did I not notice this before? Because it becomes so second nature. I think beyond the practical applications of fertility awareness, I think that one of the reasons why so many women find the knowledge that comes with this natural method of birth control or this natural way to optimize pregnancy, I feel like it's more about the knowledge of your cycle, the more about everything you didn't know, everything that you wish you had been taught about your cycle before, because you can't learn fertility awareness without dispelling a number of very common and prevalent myths about the menstrual cycle. And just listing them off the top of my head, one of the very first myths about the menstrual cycle is that it's always 28 days. And in my Facebook group, so for those of you who are listeners of the podcast, I host a Facebook group for the Fertility Friday community. And, you know, a few days ago, I put in there just a question, how many days is your cycle? Does anyone in the group actually have 28-day cycles? And so if you go in there, you can probably go back and find that thread. But it's really interesting because you can actually see with your own eyes that, you know, no one in the group has 28-day cycles every single month after month. Most women put a range where their cycles are typically between this long and this long. And many women have cycles that are a little longer, a little bit shorter. And so even just that myth, that's kind of the first myth that is dispelled. When you start paying attention to your cycles, you see that your cycles fluctuate based on what's happening in your life. So if you have a particularly stressful week or a day, or if something happens, or maybe you travel, that could delay ovulation a little bit. And then all of a sudden your cycle is a little bit longer or even shorter that month. And so that is kind of like the tip of the iceberg. That's when you start to get a sense that, you know, your cycle is not, you're not a robot. You're not just some piece of equipment or something that just goes off at the same time every day. You're a human being and your life affects you and your cycle responds to what's happening in your life. So the 28-day myth, the myth that ovulation always happens on day 14. So that's a hard myth for a lot of women to kind of get over and give up. So even with some of my clients, when we first start to work together, they're often really paying close attention to that date of ovulation or thinking about the day that they ovulated last cycle, you know, in anticipation that it's going to be the same. So one of the things that you learn when you get deeper and deeper into fertility awareness is that the date of ovulation fluctuates, and it's not actually the most important date of your cycle. If you're trying to conceive, it's more important to pay attention to your cervical mucus, because your mucus is what tells you when you're fertile. If you're avoiding pregnancy, again, the same thing. You have to pay close attention to your mucus, because the days of mucus are your days of fertility. And so knowing how to identify which days those are and how the rules work so that you can put that buffer period of time in so that you know which days you can get pregnant and which days you can't, that is the center of the method. And so it really challenges that idea that we've all grown up with, that every woman ovulates on day 14 and all of our cycles are 28 days. And of course, one of the biggest myths that fertility awareness addresses is the myth that we're fertile every single day. So once you start charting your cycles and you start to get familiar and comfortable with your cervical mucus observations, you see that you're not fertile every single day. And it's interesting because you can read the book, you can listen to the podcast, and you can kind of have that intellectual knowing about this. But when it comes, like when it comes down to it and you're with your partner and, you know, you make that leap for the first time, it can be really scary. So that's one of the things that often comes up in my groups. Especially my birth control groups, where my clients are, you know, first there's stages that we all go through. You know, the first stage is that we're learning, we're students of the method, we're reading about it, we're taking classes and we're charting for the first time, and we're kind of getting our heads around this whole new world of fertility awareness charting. But then once you have a couple cycles under your belt, you actually start, you know, using the method and having unprotected sex on those infertile days. You know, you usually start with the post-ovulatory phase and move on from there. But it's really scary. And so that's one of the topics that comes up in my group programs a lot. And it's really nice to have that conversation in a supportive environment with women who are in the same situation, but to really quell those fears and know that it's normal and natural. I mean, for many of the women in my group, you know, they've thought this for however old they are. So 20 years, 25 years, 30 years of their lives, they believe that they could get pregnant every single day. And so it's often really hard to make that shift. But I think it's so important for women to really understand how their bodies work and to know that you're not actually fertile every day. It's actually on the men's side, they're the ones that produce semen every single day and sperm every day. We're the ones that only have a small window of fertility. And so often what happens in my programs is that because I'm teaching a particular way of checking for mucus, it's a specific kind of method that we teach, you really get that clear sense of the difference between dry days and mucus days. And so for many of my clients, it's not uncommon for them to come into the program thinking that they have tons of mucus every day, they have mucus, only to find that there's actually only a small window where they're producing mucus. Often that's the most common experience where my clients will find that they have much fewer days of mucus than they thought. And so they were overestimating how many days of fertility that they had. So that's a really common experience. Although everyone's experience isn't the same. Some clients find that they have some degree of mucus every day and that's a different situation. But it's not uncommon for my clients to discover like, wow, I really only have a couple of days of fertility each month. I only have a few days where I'm actually producing mucus and the rest of the time it's like super dry. That's something that's really foundational to fertility awareness, dispelling the myth that we can get pregnant every single day of our cycles. Just by learning the method, it allows you to connect with your body in a different way. It gives you the opportunity to pay attention to your period and to think about how it's all related, how your period is a result of what was happening in your cycle hormonally. Your endometrial lining is building at the beginning of your cycle in response to estrogen. And then after you ovulate, progesterone helps the lining to mature. And so when you get your period, that's a result of what was happening hormonally. So if you have happy, healthy hormones that are balanced and, you know, in good amounts, then your period is going to reflect that. And if your period is, you know, completely haywire, if it's too heavy, if it's too light, if it's painful, then it's giving us a lot of information. And so we become the ones who are in charge of gathering the information that we're getting throughout our cycle and then having the opportunity to really interpret it and pay attention to it. And so you'll have heard me say on the podcast a number of times, and a number of my guests have talked about the concept of the menstrual cycle as a vital sign. There are many health practitioners who have put out there the idea that we should be paying more attention to the menstrual cycle because it is a vital sign that's telling us about our health. And it couldn't be more accurate, especially in the work that I do, where I've seen thousands of charts over the years. I think one of the things that's most surprising in my client work to my clients themselves is how sensitive their cycle is to different things that are happening. So whether it's like the interview that I released with Amy, who is a member of my Fertility Awareness Reality Series, and she had a shot. She got a shot for an allergic reaction she was having, and it completely changed the way that her period came that month. She had all kinds of strange bleeding patterns and things like that, and she couldn't figure out what was going on. And then when we talked about it, oh, I had this shot, and that's how it affected it. So whether it's something like that, whether it's travel, stress, whether it's something that's happening in your job or your family life or anything like that, I've seen clients where they're charting their cycles and they see how much their particular stressful situation is affecting them. And then that leads them to make bigger changes in their lives. When you really connect with what's happening in your body and you can see on a piece of paper or in your charting app how your life is affecting your cycles, I think for many women, that is a very powerful experience and it's a very tangible thing. You know, not only are they getting this method of birth control or being able to optimize their chances for getting pregnant, but they're really starting to put it together that what I do really does have an effect on my health. And this is how it shows up for me. What you end up with over the years, if you continue charting, you just always have this kind of status reading of your health. And so from my perspective, as someone who's charted my cycles for over 15 years now, for me, I can really gather a lot from what's happening in my cycles. My cycles tell me if I'm on track, if I'm paying attention to my thyroid health, because I know I've mentioned on the podcast that I have hypothyroid. And so I've been working with that for all these years, but my cycle is a way for me to gauge it. if something happens and my thyroid isn't working properly, then it'll show up in my chart. Maybe my cycles would be a little bit longer. Maybe my ovulation will be a little bit more delayed, or other things too. Maybe I'll notice that I don't have as much energy or something like that. But all of those things play together. They're not separate. My thyroid is not separate from my chart. They are together. And so whatever's happening with my thyroid is also happening on my chart. And for many women, it's not their thyroid. For many women, it's their gut health. What's happening with their gut health shows up on their chart. If they have food sensitivities or allergies, that shows up on their chart. If they have obvious things, like if they have the PCOS, polycystic ovary syndrome, well, that delays ovulation. So depending on what's happening with their diet, with what's happening with their life, different things, that's going to show up. And that, I think, is what is one of the most important things that comes out of fertility awareness charting that you don't really bargain for and you don't really sign up for. But it's this interconnection between your charts and what's happening in your health and how you can actually use that. The scary thing for me is to think of how many women have no idea of how intimately their cycles are connected to their health. In our culture, and I've heard it from so many clients, from so many guests on the show, that, you know, if you go to your doctor and you don't really ovulate that regularly, but you're not actively trying for a baby, then often the response from, you know, the medical professional is that, well, if you're not trying to get pregnant, it's totally fine. We'll put you on the pill. And when you're ready to get pregnant, come back and we'll give you Clomid to make you ovulate. And again, there's this lack of understanding that your cycle actually is related to your health. So if you're not ovulating and you're not having a period, then that is a really big sign that something is wrong. It is a huge red flag and it should never be overlooked. So when you're looking at your cycle as a vital sign, then that's never something you would overlook. If you are looking at your cycle as a vital sign, if you stop ovulating, that is essentially an emergency, because it means that something's really going on in your body that we need to be paying attention to. So in addition to the role of fertility awareness in helping to identify underlying problems, so one of the things is that although you might not know exactly what the issue is, if you've just started charting and you see different parameters in your chart that don't fall within the normal range, that is the first step, kind of knowing that there's a problem. So one of the things about fertility awareness charting is that it's often kind of that first response system. So someone in my field, someone like me, I can take a look at a woman's charts. And although I can't take a look at someone's chart without any context, and like, you can never just die. Like, there's no such thing as like looking at someone's chart and be like, you have this problem. But what can happen is that you see patterns. And so when I work with clients, I'm able to look at their charts, and all of the clients that I work with, you know, we do detailed histories and we have, you know, sessions together. So I have a really good context and understanding about the whole picture of what's happening with them, their birth control history, you know, if anything else is going on with them. So when I take a look at the chart with regard, you know, in that context, we're really able to fact find and problem solve and find issues that otherwise may take a lot longer to discover. Specifically related to fertility, I mean, when you're looking at a woman's chart and she's, you know, paying attention to the details of her mucus and her temperature and her cervical position, all those types of things, then if she does have, say, for instance, an issue with hormone production and she's, you know, her luteal phase is on the short side, or she's got spotting when she shouldn't necessarily have spotting, or there's an issue with her mucus, whether she has too much mucus or too little mucus, or maybe several mucus patches or delayed ovulation. Like, these are things that you can see very clearly on the chart. And so the chart gives us so much information about what's happening. And then when you take that chart and you put it in the context of what's happening in her life and you kind of do a really thorough review with her, then you're able to get a really clear sense of what's happening with her in a way that you may not be able to get just without it. So it's funny, because the women in my field, we can't imagine trying to support somebody without looking at that chart, because the chart is what's giving us so much information about what's happening with her from a hormonal perspective. And, you know, one of the side benefits of using fertility awareness as a birth control method is that it allows you to preserve your natural fertility. When I thought about doing a podcast about fertility awareness, one of the things that I wanted to talk about was one of my observations, I guess you could say. And so in the field that I'm in, and as I mentioned, having the opportunity to literally look at thousands of charts over the years, you really start to see patterns. And so one thing that is extremely clear to me is that there is a huge difference between the charts of a woman who has never been on hormonal contraceptives at all, so what I would call quote unquote virgin cycles, and a woman who has recently come off of hormonal contraceptives or even had been on it for a long time. Although there's no steadfast rule, I have, you know, worked with women who have not had a history of hormonal contraceptives, but still have challenges with their cycle. Perhaps in their case, they're struggling with some sort of endocrine disorder or something like that, that is affecting their cycle. So I'm not by any means saying that if a woman's never been on hormonal contraceptives, it means her cycles are going to be quote unquote perfect. Because from my perspective, there's no such thing as a perfect chart. Because again, your chart is always reflecting back to you what's happening with your body. It can change from month to month, depending on the situation. But back to the main point, overall, there is a clear difference to me between the charts of women who have never used hormonal contraceptives and women who have recently come off of them. And so, you know, I've done a couple of episodes about coming off of hormonal contraceptives and what to expect when coming off of hormonal contraceptives. So I'll link some of those in the show notes page. But basically, when women are coming off of hormonal contraceptives, their cycles do not fall in the normal range in a lot of different ways. So, you know, for a lot of women, they're just looking at when their period's coming and like how many days in between their period. And so that is one of the parameters of your menstrual cycle, the total length. But ultimately, you know, when I'm looking at a woman's chart, we're looking at all the parameters. So we're looking at her period, we're looking at when she's ovulating, what her cervical mucus is like, and we're looking at her luteal phase, and we're looking at the total length. So we're looking at a number of different factors. What I've observed is that long-term hormonal birth control use does absolutely change your cycles, and it does take time for your cycles to kind of level out and even out after coming off of them. Compared to a woman who has either never been on hormonal contraceptives or maybe had a short stint and then literally hasn't been on them for years, with the exception of specific issues or endocrine things that are happening, women who have not been on hormonal contraceptives, their cycles are typically pretty consistent. No one's cycles are the same day, same length every single time. I mean, some women have fairly consistent cycles, but typically there's shifts over the years. But when I say consistent, I just mean that the cycles are fairly regular. So although they're not necessarily 28 days every single cycle, they might have a small window. So they may vary between, say, 27 and 29 days or 29 and 32 days. But there's a kind of a small window variance, and their cycles are fairly consistent, ovulatory. The cervical mucus patterns are typical of what you would read of in the books. So, you know, your period followed by dry days and then a mucus patch and then dry days and then, you know, over and over again. Strong luteal phase, not really a whole lot of spotting going on. Like many of the women who I've worked with who have never been on hormonal contraceptives, they kind of look at me funny when I ask them about spotting, like, no, I've never had spotting. So there's just some specific differences that I've observed. And so one of the benefits of fertility awareness, kind of outside, just to think about that you may not think about, is that if you plan to have children someday and you're not ready to have them right now, and instead of using a hormonal birth control method, you opt for a non-hormonal method. So this method doesn't affect your cycles at all. It just affects your behavior, what you do around the different times of your cycle. Then when you are ready to have a baby, you don't have to do, I mean, I mean, so tempted to say you don't have to do anything, because what you're doing is you're just switching it up. So instead of avoiding unprotected sex on your fertile days, you just start having unprotected sex on your fertile days. But what I mean is that there's no transition period where you have to work to get your cycle back to normal. And that's huge. Because I have never worked with a woman who's come off of hormonal contraceptives for, you know, over a year, at least, that she's been using it, where there was no impact. So the myth that women can take hormonal contraceptives and it doesn't have an impact on the cycle. If you really look at the cycles women have when they're coming off, you'll see that it does affect it, and it takes time for them to transition. There's a definite transition period. The research supports that as well. It takes several cycles before a woman's fertility will return kind of back to normal. And that number of cycles can be over a period of a year or two. Just that whole aspect of preserving your fertility, not altering your cycles with hormones such that when you're ready to conceive, you can just kind of go ahead and you don't have that unknown factor of what will my cycles be like when I come off? What will they look like, and how long will it take for my cycles to go back to normal? So I mentioned a couple different situations that can affect your menstrual cycles. So As I was talking about, long-term or short-term hormonal birth control use does affect your cycles. So that's one of the reasons that you may have cycles that fall outside of normal parameters. And as I mentioned, stress affects your cycle. If you have an endocrine issue like thyroid disorder, polycystic ovary syndrome, hypothalamic amenorrhea, any type of endocrine disorder will show up in your charts in one way or another. And interestingly enough, there's a lot of different ways that allergies and food sensitivities can show up in your charts, whether that's altered temperature or mucus patterns or even just overall cycle events that happen at different times. When women have gut issues, I've mentioned on the podcast a number of times, that will show up in the charts as well in different ways depending on the woman. And so I think what's really important to remember is that because we're all different and we're all sensitive to different things, so whereas there might be a certain type of food or a certain type of food additive or something like that that really affects your cycle, and when you pay attention to your cycle, you'll notice how it is impacted and changed. Another person can take the same thing and have no effect whatsoever. So what's interesting about your cycles and what's interesting about this whole process is that even if two women have similar issues, it's not going to show up in the exact same ways in her chart. So what we're looking at is the overall context. We're paying attention to what we're seeing on her chart, but we really have to take a look at her and find out what she is sensitive to, what is impacting her. Nutrient deficiencies can also show up on your chart in a number of different ways, and also diet. What a lot of my clients will notice is that if they have a particular sensitivity to something, that will make a really big difference on their chart. Whereas for other clients, that same thing wouldn't make a difference at all. So making different shifts, if you're in a place where you're thinking about making different dietary changes, you're trying to make some lifestyle changes or whatever the case is, when you pay attention to your menstrual cycle, you can actually basically gauge your progress. You can use your menstrual cycle as a way to gauge your progress. Because as you make improvements in one area, you'll typically see shifts in your menstrual cycle, and often in a positive direction, you know, if you're making positive changes. And, you know, one of the things that I always say as well is that the menstrual cycle doesn't lie, especially when it comes to diet. I mean, we are all taught so many different things and we have so much information bombarding us. We're at an age of information overload where you can literally open up your internet browser and type in anything and find two completely opposing viewpoints. So you name it, you can find two completely opposing viewpoints about everything. And so, you know, a lot of my clients come to me because they're feeling a little bit stressed, a little bit confused by everything that they've heard and seen, and just so many conflicting pieces of information. But the most helpful tool in my work is your chart. Regardless of what you've read or what you might think, your body is going to react to whatever it is that you're putting in it. And it's going to react either positively or negatively. So when you're paying attention to your menstrual cycle, you can really see how different foods are affecting you, different dietary styles, different dietary practices are affecting you, different exercise routines. You can just see it. And so if your cycle is healthy and if your cycle falls within normal parameters and you're feeling really good and overall your health is great, then that's an indication that you're on the right track. When your cycle is showing you signs of distress, when there are, you know, like I mentioned, abnormal parameters and different things that are coming up, then we know that there's something that we have to look at. So that is one of the ways that you can really utilize fertility awareness and really utilize what you're seeing on your chart to inform you about what's happening. And in the groups that I run, what's interesting as well, like I mentioned, you can have five women that have similar challenges. So if you have five women with PCOS, for example, which I don't think I've ever had in one of my groups, so this is just a random example. But if you have five women with PCOS, you'll see five different charts. You're not going to see five charts that look exactly the same. And, you know, for one woman, she may have a certain sensitivity or something that affects her. And then that same thing is not a non-issue for another woman. And so that's the beauty and the benefit of charting, which is that, and it's often, I think, a little bit frustrating when I get a lot of comments in my Facebook group and, you know, emails come through and it's like, I have this problem with my chart. Tell me what's wrong. And often my response is, well, without the context, without seeing your whole chart, without knowing what's happening, without knowing your birth control history, it's not really responsible of me or ethical to look at something and say, oh, this is the problem. And the reason for that is there's so many individual differences, and I've seen it in my practice with women teaching them fertility awareness, where we all react differently to different things. And so we really have to look at this from an individualized perspective. But that, of course, is a high level view. that's a view of someone who's been doing this for years. This is a view of someone who's seen a lot of different changes. And I know the power of this whole charting thing and how it can really connect with your health. I've worked with a lot of women where if it wasn't for this charting experience of going through and paying attention to their cycles, there's a lot of things that may not have been identified. And I often wonder, I am often left asking and thinking in my mind, and I often say this to my husband, I'll just say, you know, I wonder if my clients hadn't been charting, what would this issue ever have been identified? Because there's been so many different situations where, although it may have been found out before, a lot of women come to me and it's through their charts that we're able to kind of pinpoint and identify different nutrient deficiencies or, you know, have you ever had this checked out or have you ever looked at that? And that's really coming from what we're seeing on the charts. Of course, I created a whole podcast about fertility awareness. So I think, you know, that I could and have been literally talking about it forever. Like I could just talk about this subject all day, all night. And obviously I've been doing it for about 3 years now, so I have a whole lot to say about it. But I can't stress enough just how incredible this journey can be if you're ready to take the plunge and start charting your cycles and start getting that insight into what's happening in your body. And, you know, I think one of the reasons that it's so special is that it's really been denied to most of us our whole lives. Every day I get another email from a woman saying, I never learned the stuff. This is the first time I've ever heard of it. This is the first time anyone's ever talked about my fertility and my cervical mucus and how I can tell when I'm fertile and how I'm not fertile every single day and how I can actually use this information as a method of birth control. It's a really special, incredible opportunity that it's really unfortunate that it's been denied to so many of us. Kind of going back to the basics of fertility awareness, I mean, the nuts and bolts of it are checking your cervical mucus, you know, on a daily basis to figure out where you are in your cycle, charting your basal body temperature, waking up in the morning, taking your temperature, and again, finding out where you are in your cycle, helping you to pinpoint when ovulation is going to happen. And then, you know, for many women, checking their cervical position as kind of like a third sign to triangulate everything. And, you know, cervical mucus is incredible once you start paying attention to it. So fascinating. And I think for a lot of women, it's a relief to learn that it's normal to have this quote unquote discharge. For so many of us, we've just been taught that anything that comes out of our vaginas has got to be an infection. And so, you know, my heart goes out to the thousands, if not millions of women who have just, you know, lived thinking that they were having these recurrent infections when really it was just their normal and natural cervical mucus. So having just that basic understanding and knowing how amazing mucus is. So, you know, part of the reason why the method centers on mucus is because sperm need mucus to survive. Whether you're trying to conceive or trying to avoid, it's helpful to know that when you have cervical mucus, that is the only time when sperm are able to live in your body for that 3 to 5 day window. And outside of your fertile window, outside of those days when you're making mucus, the sperm can't even get through your cervix. So really knowing and understanding how incredible cervical mucus is and how central it is to fertility is just so helpful and incredible. And another thing that's interesting is that we are not the only ones that have this magical cervical mucus. Animals have it too. It's interesting, like dairy farmers know about cervical mucus because they have to kind of time their insemination, things like that, with their cows, what's called their estrous cycle. And so, you know, a lot of farmers know a whole lot about cervical mucus because it's how us female mammals work. And so, so anyways, I wanted to share this episode with you and talk a little bit about fertility awareness and kind of do a little bit of a throwback, kind of like an updated what it is and get at some of those myths and facts, especially for some of the newer listeners that have just found the show, to really just kind of go back into it. So I hope that you enjoyed this episode. I hope that it was helpful for you, you know, whether you have lots of years of charting under your belt or whether it's completely new information. For those of you who want to go back and listen to the full throwback episode, you can actually go back and listen to episode number one. It's different to this episode. I have a lot of different things to say now. And of course, it wouldn't be helpful to you if I just repeated the same thing. But the first episode, I believe I go into a bit more detail about the specifics of fertility awareness charting and the specifics of mucus and all of that. And for those of you who are particularly interested in the fertility awareness episodes, what I've done is I've created just a special kind of section on the website. So if you go to fertilityfriday.com/fertility awareness, you will see a list of all the fertility awareness specific podcast episodes for those of you who are looking for information specifically on learning and utilizing the fertility awareness method itself. So you'll find the show notes page for this episode over at fertilityfriday.com/165. So fertilityfriday.com/165. I will link the fertility awareness episodes so that you can take a look at that if you don't have time to kind of run over and check that out right now. And I'll also link the other episodes that I refer to in a couple, you know, relevant blog posts and different things to this episode, just about fertility awareness in general. So you'll find some great resources there. If you want to join the Fertility Friday Facebook community and have a chat about more fertility awareness topics in there, make sure to head over to fertilityfriday.com/community to become part of that group. And for those of you who are ready to take a deep dive into fertility awareness charting, I would love to have you in one of my programs. So I will be actually opening up my group programs for January. I'll be opening up enrollment to those within the next couple of weeks here. So if you're thinking about joining the next group program, you'll want to get on the waiting list. I actually have a lot of women on the wait list already. If you're wanting to be part of the January group, I haven't even started advertising for it yet, but I do have a fair number of women on the waiting list already. So it's kind of just like a heads up. You can head over to fertilityfriday.com/group program to go directly there. And to see all the different programs that I offer, you'll find those at fertilityfriday.com/work with me. So I want to thank you for listening, for supporting the show, and just for hanging out with me today and letting me be part of your day. I know some of you take me to work when you're commuting. Some of you take me for a jog or working out at the gym. And some of you hang out with me while you're doing housework or walking the dog and doing road trips. So whatever you're doing, I'm happy to be part of your day and I'm happy to have you here because, as I always mention, you know, there are literally hundreds of thousands of podcasts, but you're listening to mine. So I really appreciate it. And I really appreciate all of you for sharing the show and spreading the word. I hear from a lot of my new listeners that it was a friend that referred them or told them about the show. So I really appreciate all of you for sharing the show and getting the word out because ultimately every woman does need to know this stuff. And so it's up to us to share the information with other women so that we can all be empowered by this incredible information about our cycles. It's literally just like one woman at a time. And so I appreciate you for being here and for being part of that. And as always, until next time, be well and happy charting.